Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey.
Augustino Zoida.
Hey man, it's me. Here I am.
Hey, yes it is. Yes it is. We're talking, man. I love these glasses and this. It's a good look for you, man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. I'm getting old, dude.
These days, like it's like a prop thing, though. I feel like more and more people are bringing out like just fake glasses just to have a look.
Yeah.
Yours are legit. Yours are like a legit glasses.
And you know because you've seen me recently, and I wasn't wearing them. So yeah. I only need them for the computer.
Also, I own prop glasses.
Oh, okay.
I don't wear them out, but I do have them.
But do you do something in your act, like?
it's more like sketch characters.
Oh, okay, you know what I want to get, dude?
I haven't worn them out.
They got those. They got those ones with the camera.
Oh yeah.
That you can incognito wear these little glasses, but there's a camera. And I remember the one from True Lies, where the camera was backwards and you could, and the screen was kind of in here, and,
oh, yeah.
And while he was like pissing in the urinal, he was like really looking at the dude behind him.
Who needs that all the time?
Tom Arnold, and
he's always watching over your shoulder.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, we got to see each other recently for a sec, which was fun to actually see people again.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys don't go out much, huh?
We don't, man. We're locking down right now.
Locking it down.
We're just making the most of being at home. And, I don't think we hate it. Like, that's the thing. I was like, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I miss real life. I miss going out and seeing people, but for the time being, it's fine.
Yeah.
And especially like, you know, we connect like this with people.
Are you saving money?
What money?
I just meant like, opposed to going out all the time and you go out to eat, you go to dinner, you go to bars.
We're saving some money. Yeah. I mean, we definitely, yeah, for sure. I mean, we're not going out much, and, you know, we comb a lot. You know, we'll get our pizza. I think we're doing for pizza again.
Oh, you guys are going to do some pizza tonight?
Yeah, man, I think so. I think it's, you know, tis the season.
You're hitting Dom's?
I think we're getting Dom's, man.
I like how you guys are on a first name basis with the Domino's guy. What was his name again?
Yeah, we know. Oh, shoot. Oh, no, I forgot it. I'm going to have to.
Dude, you got to get him on your podcast.
Yeah, I do. I
that would be great, dude.
They'd be like, who's this guy? Hey, no, he's our pizza guy.
A Zoom chat, and he's just like, hold on a second. Yeah. To go or
Yearum, that's the guy. Yearum.
Yearum. Yeah. Dude, you gotta show Yearum some love.
It was funny. Last time I went, we were we got there too like early. And so then I was just like having a convo with me, Yearum, and the one other dude there. And I'm just like, now we're just shooting the shit. Like, this is for like 5 minutes while it's cooking up, and I'm like, usually I'm just in and out, and I'm like, oh man, it's small talking away.
See, are you a nice person and he's a nice person, or is this just I don't get to talk to people that much, or or
he's
both?
A good dude, man.
He's a good dude.
He's a nice guy. Yeah,
nice.
He's a nice guy.
See, dude. So now that I'm going back out on the road here and there, like I work 2 weeks in a row, right? And I think I won't do that again because it's a good gauge of how long before I should do the next gig. Because I want to wait like 2 weeks. And if I didn't get sick or anything for 2 weeks, then I'm good to go to the next gig. You know what I mean? Like doing back-to-back was crazy because now this week is 2 weeks since the first gig and I'm fine. But I don't have to wait another week since it's 2 weeks from the last gig. And so from now on, I'm going to be booking like 2 weeks within each other, which is my plan.
That makes sense.
For now.
I'm glad to hear you're doing good.
Thanks,
we saw
man.
You a week ago. We were wondering.
Yeah.
We're like, I hope he's doing good because if he's doing good, we're doing good. Okay, cool.
That's my excuse for not getting enough bookings. Like, I just tell people, I'm just spacing them out to be safe.
Right. Yeah.
I also say that when I'm not sold out. Well, it's capacity, right? Like, right now they can only fill a quarter of the room. We had 20 people and we were sold out.
Yeah, we were sold out, man. Yeah, what's it like out there? Like, is it I mean, I guess the people who are coming out are don't really aren't too worried about it and are just there to have a good time, right?
You know, you have your people that are not really worried about it or never were. Typically, usually the people who are not worried about it never were, you know, and they're just like, finally, I can go out again. And then you have people that were worried about it, are worried about it, but they're just kind of like going, I want to go out. Like, it's enough is enough already, you know? And they're like going, like, weighing, could I risk getting the vid or am I going to, you know, lose my mind being in these four walls one more day? Like, is it my mental health or see, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's got to balance it.
I've made that decision many times. I've done a couple of, you know, underground secret comedy shows here in LA. It's comedy's illegal now, apparently. So we got to
that and gyms.
And, you know, I'll go like, do I want to go over there? Because, dude, you don't want to get the vid from an open mic. Like, if you got the vid from a real paid gig, you're like, worth it. But if I go to some open mic and I get it that way, I'm like, oh, that's the worst. So I did some open mics, like, and I had to ask myself.
If I'm going to get the vid, I need to be dancing with The Weeknd at the Super Bowl halftime. That's how I got it. Fine. That's a good story.
Yeah, I'm going out on top. But I don't want to get it. And you know who's going to have it is open micers. Like, that's who has it. Like, those are the super spreaders.
Because they're just bouncing. They're bouncing from one to the next. And it's,
But I'm one of those people, and I've talked to a lot of my comedy friends, and some of them agree with me. Some of them don't necessarily agree with me, where they're like, we miss it, but we don't miss it to where we're losing our minds and we're going to go out. And that's fine. Like, to each his own. But I got to a point where, like, I was mentally not doing well, and I had to get on stage, and I had to ask myself, am I going to risk it or am I going to risk it? So I just went out, and it's kind of unfair because then you're going, well, that was my choice, but what if I'm getting someone sick out there? But then again, they're out there and that was their choice. So
totally
weighing the odds. Yeah. It's just a numbers game.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It totally is. And I think everybody kind of picks their, like, everybody has those moments of like, are we going to do this? Are we doing it? Okay, we're doing it. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just got to pick your, you know, pick your battles, especially like, you know, if you're making some extra money doing it and stuff like that, or you're making any money at all, like, that makes more sense than just being like, I got to go try out this new bit.
Yeah.
You know, at a mic, you know, to me, I'm like, yeah, there's people, you know, making their living off of it, and that if that's what you do and you can do it, go do it, you know. Yeah. But I'm not trying to just work bits to work bits right now. I miss it. I love it. I want to be back, but it's just to me, I can wait a little longer.
Yeah, I got this funny story from walking my dog. I'm gonna risk everything and go try it on some open micers.
The worst is if you go, you try it, it tanks, and then you get COVID at that open mic.
Oh, man.
And now you're like, damn it, the bit didn't even work.
It didn't even work. And then your buddy calls you. Yeah, but it's got legs, bro. Keep it. It's a good premise.
Yeah, but I don't have lungs.
I can't taste, dude.
I'm choked up, man.
Yeah, it's got legs, but I can't taste.
Yeah, use that. Use that. That's a new bit.
Use that. No.
That's good, man. Yeah. You gotta weigh it out, man.
I had to take the glasses off. The glare from my ring light was bothering me.
I get it. That's all right. It's interesting. And I know we've talked about it. A lot of people have moved out of state and just kind of taking time off. It's, you know, it's a time to do other stuff and just get life experience. If you know. Even if it's just being at home, like, that's still like interesting experience and like a weird human part of the human experience that we're having to like deal with and like figure out.
It's strange times for everyone, dude. But from a stand-up comics standpoint, it's like, man, no one that we look up to really had to deal with this. Like, you know, you can go back and think about like, you know, Seinfeld, you know what I mean? And his times the New York comics and you know, the Richard Pryors. And it's like, those guys never went through this. they went through a lot of other shit, like drugs and a lot of other crazy stuff in their life. But like I hear comics all the time from like back in the day that will say like, man, like we didn't have GPS, you know, we went to these gigs out in the middle of nowhere. We had to use a map and, you know, they all talk about stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, like we'll never know what that's like, but
yeah,
we had to do this.
Right.
We had to learn how to do stand-up comedy all over again. And we had to learn to deal with, you know, because a lot of comics, especially those guys, got into stand-up because of probably mental illness from their life. And
yeah,
a lot of comics got into it because of that. And and if you can't use it to help you deal with that stuff, so now you've got like both. You've got both problems.
Yeah. Let me ask this. Like, so do you know, like, around how long you were off stage for? Was it months or?
Months and months. Not the whole year.
Yeah.
I, before the pandemic in January of 2020, I was in Vancouver doing shows. February, I was in Sacramento. And then, of 2020, last year. And then. Yeah. I had some gigs in March, and I remember one by one, they all started canceling as things got worse. And then by, I want to say May, Arizona opened back up, and I went to Arizona and did the week there.
Yeah.
And then I think May till November, I didn't have a real, I had a couple backyard shows, one or two, but May to November, I had nothing. And then I went into Philly in November.
Yeah. Do you think, like, having taken time off, does that give you perspective on your material and time to, like, reflect on stuff you're doing? Because I think it's interesting. Like, for a lot of us, like, I mean, there's this mindset, like, if you take a week off, you're no longer a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And it's weird, and it's bizarre, and it's a little twisted, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I think honestly, like, I took some time off in Atlanta, you know, and then got back up on stage. And
how long?
For me, it was months. It was months. We went out there more to act, and I was working at a brewery, so I was working a lot more nights.
Yeah.
So I didn't have as many nights free to just go do stand up. I went for a specific reason, and so kind of put that on the back burner a little bit, and would just kind of chip away at it as I could. But there was like months that I wasn't doing it. But what it did was kind of give me a chance to reflect back on what kind of material I was putting out there, what kind of persona, what my voice was, and if I liked that voice. Mm-hmm. And I found in a lot of ways for me, I wanted to pivot, and I didn't want to do some of the stuff I had been doing. But because I was out every night, doing, you know, multiple sets, you kind of get into a rhythm of just doing the same type of material. So I don't know. I didn't know. You know, it'd be interesting to see how many people have that chance, having time off finally to reflect.
You know,
and be like, man, am I doing what I want to be doing?
I don't really agree with that. What you had said in the beginning, where people will go like, "Oh, if you take a week or so off, you're not a stand-up comic anymore." I don't necessarily agree with that. I understand where the, for the lack of a better word, stigma comes from, and it also serves its purpose too, to constantly motivate you to get on stage and stuff like that. But I don't agree with it at all, because you're never not a stand-up comic, to me anyway. It's like you said, no,
I agree with that, yeah.
Everything you do, look at, think, happens to you, you can't turn it off that goes, is this a bit? You don't turn it off. Mm-hmm. It's constantly in your head. And then when you're driving, you're thinking like, how would I make it a bit? When you're in the shower, you're thinking about it. You're never not a comic. And you know what? Yeah. You need those times off for, number one, exactly what you said. You know, you're finding yourself as a comic. You're finding your voice. And if you're constantly doing shows every night, you're not really taking a step back and going, do I like what I'm doing? You're just repetitive at one point. And you need breaks. As much as, like, I appreciate and respect the rules of, like, get on stage as much as you can, and that's, like, 100% true. But after you've been doing it as long as you and I have, not that we've been doing it so long, there's guys have been doing it way longer, but we're not rookies either. Like, in the beginning, you should get on stage as much as you possibly can. you know, you're going to sound like other comics before you found your voice. You're going to just get comfortable on stage. But after you and I have been doing it as long as we've been doing it, it's like you need breaks. You need to live a life or you're not going to get good material.
Mm-hmm.
Think about every huge famous stand-up comic that eventually goes to like acting or, you know, megastar. Their first specials are always like the best. And then when they blow up, and they start doing movies, like starring in movies and stuff, their next special's not as good. And then the next one's a lot of stories about being on set and when I met Dwayne Johnson. You know what I mean? You know, when I went to Jay-Z's birthday party. You know what I mean? Right. Like
super relatable stuff.
You know what I'm saying? Like you need to live a life. You need to take not vacation, but you need to go set time for life. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree. Which is interesting. And it kind of brings me up to this too. Cause you have an album out, The Bad Guy.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, like making that decision to put that first out. Cause everybody has a different time frame of like when it feels ready, you know, and what they want to put on it. You know, I think back on that too, like I've had an album's worth of time. But I'm almost, I look back at it sometimes, I'm like, I'm kind of glad I didn't put it out.
Yeah.
Because for me, I think I'm a different person than I am now. You know, like I think a lot of that stuff was more single guy, you know, material and stuff. And I'll not be that again. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But which I don't know if that's the same, you know, it's so it's interesting when people choose to put these out because, you know, That first album is kind of your defining thing too of like, oh, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get that big pivot of like, well, do I want that to be my persona moving forward? Or is that like, you know, was I just kind of being douchey, you know, for like a couple of years, you know?
I guess it depends. So it's like if you're doing like a shtick, like Larry the Cable Guy, you know, and you drop your first album, it's like, this is setting the tone for my career, you know?
Yeah,
like, see, I thought the way that you thought, and you know what, Ryan? I actually recorded that album in 2014 and didn't release it until 2020.
That was recorded in 2014?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, wow.
I don't do any of those bits anymore. All that stuff, when I'm talking about my wife, was about my first wife. I was still married to my first wife at the time. And I have completely different material now. And you know what? For many reasons, I didn't release it but some of them were the ones that you mentioned. I didn't think that I changed. You know, I changed. My views on things changed. I grew up. We started stand-up young, dude. We're young dudes.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And like you grow up and your life changes. You get divorced. You get married.
Right.
And you know what, bro? Somebody told me, as comics, we're always going to judge our shit, first of all. We're always going to go, this album's not good enough. But someone told me, don't think about it too much. Just release it because it stays out there forever. People are just going to click on stuff. Someone also made a point that, you know who listens to comedy albums a lot? Is the military. When they're out there,
they
literally get like, see packs of comedy albums, random people's unknowns albums shipped to them because in CDs, because there's nothing else for them to do, to keep them entertained. And they're like, dude, just put it out there. They'll never know who you are. Like it's just content for people. You'll make money on downloads.
They will know.
And then you know what? They will come back from, you know, serving. And they'll be like, dude, I know you. Like, you got me through some tough nights. And and you know what, man? Cool. I also thought about Louis C.K.'s, like, first album, which is hilarious, great bits, but it's nothing really who he is today. And then in the next album, he goes, like, I got divorced. Like, right after he had all this great marriage material.
Yeah.
So it kind of you kind of watch the person's life.
Totally.
I mean, granted, he was doing specials. I just dropped an album, you know, but still.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and that's the interesting thing. You have to decide that at the time too. And I think it would be different too if it's like when you did it, it was relevant to you at that time.
Yeah.
for me to do the material, like if I have an hour and half of that hour is a different, you know, kind of my younger self, then it doesn't, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel right. You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I had done it at the time that I was like maybe living out that life a little more, yeah. that makes sense. But it, but I think as the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't know if I would put that on. You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't feel as authentic.
I'm obviously a way better comic now when you come see me live. And then if you go buy my album, it's from 2014. I'm 6 years a better comic. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Cause
yeah,
I never stopped the whole time.
Yeah.
Besides May through November of 2020.
Yeah. Right.
But I sat on the file for 6 years. And then when the pandemic hit, I went, you know what? I'm going to go through it. I'm going to edit out the things that I'm not proud of or are not relevant anymore. And after editing stuff out, I still had a 40-45 minute album. And yeah. A lot of it are great bits. Yeah. And you know what, dude? It's going to come on Pandora. It's going to come on Spotify. You're going to make a little money. It's just out there. And then yeah. Burr, dude, if you ever go back and listen to Burr's first album, before specials, it's just audio only. I mm-hmm. loved that it was like in a comedy club. And you can hear yeah. how amateur it was. Like you can hear the servers talking. You can hear the receipts printing. And I forget the name of it, but it's really good. It's like antisocial, but that's not the name. It's something. Anyway, I'll look it up. Sorry, you go ahead. I talked long enough.
No, that was great. Look it up. No, that was awesome. Where'd you film yours?
I recorded mine at the Haha North Hollywood, where you know was yeah. for a long time our home club. I would assume it's your home club. We saw each other yeah. up there a lot. We both, I literally worked there and you worked there as far as like volunteering for stage time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, they gave me my own night. I got to, you know, I think Jack Jr. and Daniel Weingarten opened, and I know for a fact Adam Hunter MC'd because on my mm-hmm. album, you can literally hear Adam Hunter bringing me up.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, I had.
That's cool.
I don't know if you were there for the open mic before my show. Okay. So I had one time I went to a live taping for Comedy Central special of Dov Davidoff.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, dude, I was like, I was a big Dov Davidoff fan. And I got row tickets to see his special taping, dude.
Wow.
And it was at this big theater, the El Portal in North Hollywood. And mm-hmm. it was dope. It's the one where he comes out of the ground and there's trash and stuff.
Theater.
Yeah. So I was like front row at that. And Brody Stevens actually did the warm up. So rest in peace, Brody Stevens. So, dude, that was just a cool experience for me. And I was only doing comedy maybe a couple of weeks at that, maybe months at that point. And I remember looking to the sides and he had these giant like index cards. Not index, but what do you call those big? I don't know. Like
cue cards,
like when you make posters. And he had his set list written on them. Giant. Like in the order they were supposed to be. One on that side of the theater, one on that side of the theater. And I'm like, oh, because he's taping, he wanted to literally do it all. And he didn't want to forget anything. Yeah. And I thought that was brilliant. So, dude, when I recorded my album at the Haha, I got these like cardboard boxes and that I like folded down and I wrote on cardboard my set list on several different and I actually hung them up in the lights like up there. Remember that rack of lights the Haha had? I like wedged them in there. So if it was a video, you could probably catch me a couple of times looking up at the ceiling. Yeah. Yeah. But thank God it was just audio. And but I remember the open mic before, all the open micers were going like, what the fuck is this shit? That's up here.
That's funny. And this is at the old place, right?
Old club, yeah.
Yeah.
The original.
I liked that place, man. Dude. There was something special about that place.
That little stage that was only two steps. You were like, and that front row was a couch. You're like in there. It was like spoken word, but stand up. It was awesome.
It felt like you were doing it in somebody's living room, and
intimate.
There was something unique about that space.
And when that room was packed, dude, it was so fun. Remember the side when they would open up the top for additional seats?
Yeah.
Dude, when that room was packed, it was so fun. When I turned 21 years old, Terry let me go up. When I was 21, I was maybe doing comedy 4 or 5 months.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe 6 months. And then, but Terry let me go up on the weekend, dude, because it was my birthday. And like Jack Sr. was like, come on, he'll bring a lot of people.
Yeah.
But dude, it was packed. It was like, it was like the like capacity. Yeah. And I remember Eric Griffin hosted and brought me up and like, dude, those 8 minutes were like the best when you're 21.
Yeah.
That was incredible. Here it is. Yeah. It's called Emotionally Unavailable. That's Bill Burr's first debut album. It's audio only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice. I'll check that out. Yeah, that's super cool. But yeah, that was a fun space, man.
Oh, it's the
and,
best.
And especially like when you get your first, like there were so many times at that place you would get thrown up on stage, but like to actually be like booked on a night was such a, you were like, yes, I get to tell somebody I'm going to be here.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. It was right. Either like, dude, can you do 5 minutes really quick before the host gets here? A cold open.
Yeah.
I hate
but
cold
you hung
opens.
Around just for that. You just like, man, you would kill for that. Like,
yeah. What do you think? What's your feelings on cold opens?
What do you mean? I don't mind them at all. I feel like I got pretty good at them.
well, you got to. I mean, it's great practice.
Yeah. And I feel like I've always been like somewhat of a high energy comic. Mm. And I think especially in my earlier years, I was like, I liked throwing energy into my act. So I think it helped me as in cold open scenarios. It didn't feel so cold because it was just like, all right, this is it. We're going.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, I don't know if it was always the best thing, but that was kind of my thing. I was like, I'm going to put energy into it. And I was like, if I look like I'm having fun, they're going to start having fun.
That's exactly right.
I kind of convinced them. Yeah, we're doing this. This is all good. Until I got better at writing. And then the jokes kind of would carry themselves.
Just in case people don't know, cold open is when you go up first, but before the MC.
Mm-hmm.
So the crowd's not warmed up, and they usually give you 5 minutes because they're doing this to test you most of the time, or giving or it to,
or because the MC is parking still.
Yeah, the MC is running late. Yes,
that happened a few
times. Can you just do 5 minutes? He's trying to find parking. So yeah, things like that. And I think that you're right. It's great for the comic as a learning experience because they're cold. They're not warmed up yet. And you only have like 5 minutes to do a set and get them there. So it really trains you to be energetic, to, you know, get to the laughs quick. And, but for the show, I think it's horrible. Like for the audience.
But it's usually that's the case. It's like something didn't quite work out.
Yes.
And that's why. And also as a comic, it keeps you on your toes, like to have to be ready. And also that confidence of like, usually you're finding out you're going on 2 minutes before you're going on.
Yeah.
And so there's something about like, oh, okay. And now after you do that once or twice, you're like, I can do this.
Yes.
Like the drop of a hat.
You're on in two. You're doing five.
Yeah.
The crowd hasn't gotten their drinks yet.
Yeah. And there's, you're right. And if I'm over here going like this, I need you to stretch. So.
Uh-huh. Dude, I remember a couple times at the HaHa where we had to have a cold opener because the MC was running late. And the MC ended up getting there so late that the cold opener actually brought up two comics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I was at that point, and then he got there, and I was just like, just let this guy finish hosting.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Really awesome. This would be crazy to switch right now. It's just horrible.
Yeah. I've definitely had other scenarios where, especially on like, more amateur shows not booked by the club where you're like, somebody would be like, oh, will you go cold open? Cause like whoever booked the show didn't want to host who he was hosting, but he was like, he didn't want a cold open.
Yes.
So you'd get that spot and you're like, I'll take it. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's an opportunity for me to go on stage. But there's so many people who didn't want to take the bullet, man.
Pussy ass hosts, bro. There are some dude. I know some guys that were hosting and jumped up there and did like 30 seconds and brought up the first comic.
Oh my God. Like, yeah.
To what a cold room.
Yeah. What did you do for the show? Like,
it didn't
warm up the crowd. And
then like 2-3 comics in after the crowd's finally warmed up, then the MC wants to go up there and do time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Those guys, man.
Those guys.
It's like, just, if that's what you wanted to do, just set it up that way. If you didn't want to go first, don't go first. Oh man,
totally, dude.
Yeah, but I don't know. I always like those spots, and honestly, like the others, the last spot of the night, you know,
I love.
You might be going up at 1:30 in the morning at the end of a late show, in front of two people. You know, some people hated that spot, and
I really liked them.
Man, I loved it. I felt like there was, I mean, it was. There's only a certain amount of pressure, but it's just a chance to just go have fun.
You get to play with them a little bit. People.
Yeah, totally.
It's the best like time to try jokes because you're like literally getting one-on-one feedback almost, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. You can have a lot of fun with them. And let me ask you a question. What do you think is the best type of show? Because everyone's got different opinions on that. I don't even think I know what my preference is. Do you like to have a host or do you like to do handoff? What do you think is the best show?
I would say a host. Mm-hmm. I think a host. I think for this reason, I think it's the best for the show. Because depending on the show, you just never know when things need to be reset.
Yes.
If it's a larger lineup, you don't know when somebody's going to, whether they're inexperienced or a newer comic, or they're just trying out new stuff and it doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. I think a host is beneficial to be able to come back on and reset the room before that next comic has to do it themselves.
I think you're right, dude. I mean, for me as a comic, I don't care. For doing handoff, I don't care. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But if I'm like producing a show or if I go to a show, if I owned a comedy club, I would be like, you got to have an MC.
Yeah.
You got to have someone... welcome everybody. You don't want your guys doing spots asking people who's celebrating their birthday and to a drink minimum. Yeah. And then, like you said, man, like a good host, and I know you know this, I'm just saying this for listeners. A good host is, you know, somebody that warms up the crowd, you know, not too much crowd work, but in the beginning, you can't just go into material. You kind of do have to talk to a little bit, feel people out. Is there anybody celebrating anything? But then go in material, warm them up, and then just start bringing up comics. Bringing up comics. And then only if somebody has a bad set or ends with the low energy, then you bring it back and reset the room. That's your job.
Man, I was, and not to like toot my own horn, but I was a good host. I always enjoyed hosting, but I say I was a good host, not because I like based on any comedy aspect of it. Even
no, I remember that you were always good at hosting. Yeah,
I understood the job.
Yeah,
I understood. You know, again, I didn't mind doing cold openings, so I was fine going up first, and I understood when to do time and when not to do time, and if I had to do time, how to do super quick time.
Yeah,
and just. Do a 30-second thing and get off and not say, how do I get extra minutes every, you know, and there's some people that want to do 5 extra minutes by the end of the show. And it's like, if that doesn't, unless it's necessary, which it's not usually, don't like it's, you do your spot and then your job is to bring people up and then maybe do a quick laugh just to turn a, you know, turn a bad situation.
And you know what, dude, the audience sees the host almost as an employee of the club.
Yeah.
You got to dress a little nicer. I'm not telling you to wear a suit, but you got to dress slightly nicer than the comics that are just popping in.
And iron your t-shirt.
Yeah. Iron your shirt, you know, and you kind of set the, you represent the club. Like, you can't open with dirty. You got to warm them up. You know what I mean? You got to do all the announcements and stuff. And that's what makes a good host, knowing when to and when not to do time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, like, you can book a lot of hosting spots just by being good at that. Just knowing when to do time and when not to.
Yeah.
Can get you a lot of spots.
Not running the light. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of opportunities that, I mean, everybody needs a host. Every show needs a host.
And if you got a host that does too much time, you're not going to book him again.
Yeah.
You're just like, dude, my shows went late.
Yeah. And sometimes there's other shows after, and it's like you gotta keep things moving.
And a guy just crushed the room, and you're coming out and doing time, bro.
Yeah,
like keep it moving.
Yeah, and it's almost always because they're like, I want that person to see me do funny. Or like be funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that guy crushed. I want him to know I can also crush.
There's that. Yeah.
Tiny bit.
And then they
want
to ride the wave.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks fun.
Yeah. Oh, man. Those nights are the most fun. Like, when you see that happening, you see that wave starting, you're like, oh, how do I get on this? You know? And then, like, that show's just taking that arc, and you're like, oh, man, everybody's going to do well tonight.
That's why I love L.A. stand-up style of just showcase. It's nonstop. It's like a bunch of comics on one night. It's just 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes, and then, you know, you go on the road, and it's like three comics.
Yeah.
And it's like 15, 20, 45.
Yeah.
It's so different, but I really do enjoy the LA life of a bunch of comics on one stage.
Yeah. Did you, how old, like, were you when you went to your first show? Because you're from out here.
Yeah.
And so did you go to shows at 18, or was it closer to 21 that you were?
I went to my first stand-up comedy show when I was 11 years old.
Whoa. Okay.
And my dad, actually my whole family was there. My parents were there, so they kind of were like, okay, he can come in, just don't let him drink.
Yeah. Cover your ears for the blue jokes.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit about that. Yeah, and that was the first time I saw live comedy, and I was just like, whoa. It blew me away, dude. It blew me away. I knew, I semi-knew it existed from television, but only from like comedic actors who occasionally you'd see do stand up, like not even really doing it. But after I saw that live performance, I was like, whoa, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And the first show I ever went to, dude, was a black show. It was all black comics, black MC. And you know what, dude, there was one guy that did a musical number that an R&B, like, what do they call it? A parody. That, to be honest with you, dude, I thought was like the greatest thing. And from that moment on, whenever I produce shows, I always want it to just be a good experience for people. Just want people to leave going like, we got everything tonight. Like, we laughed, we got everything. You know, we felt good.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I don't know. So going from the first show you saw, what would be, if you could only be on one late night show, or one stand-up show of any kind, what would it be?
Like a television show?
What would that one? Yeah.
Aside from a special.
No, not a special, but like, like an America's Got Talent, a Tonight Show, Conan.
Oh, I see. I guess if I had to choose between those, I would go Conan. He seems, out of all of the late night hosts right now, he seems to be the realest comic. The one that is the closest to stand-up comedy, and I know that show, like, really knows stand-up, and they really book a lot of really funny comics. I've known a lot of guys that got on Conan. As opposed to, like, The Tonight Show now, not with Leno, but The Tonight Show now is, like, I don't know. I just feel like those guys aren't as connected to the stand-up comedy world. If I had to choose, I don't really want to do a late-night spot. To be honest with you, I don't want to do it. It's like, I'm going to have to like tweak my set so much that it's not going to be me.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to hate it. It's going to be 4.5 minutes of not me.
Right. I gotcha.
But if I had to, I would go Conan. I think that they would be like the coolest about like, we get comedy.
I think I would go Conan mostly based on the history of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show is fantastic, but I do think the Conan has been around longer for the period of time that I've been interested in comedy. Mm. You know, I watched Conan in high school. You know, staying up late eating ice cream after work and watching his show, and I, you know, love the Tonight Show. But if I had to pick one, I'd pick both of them.
if it was Leno, dude, I would. If you asked me during Leno, I would have been like, I would love to get on Leno.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago,
I think he's fantastic, but
it was like a little tiny goal of mine a couple of years ago to get on a late night talk show. But after prepping for the Montreal showcase and then doing the Montreal showcase, I decided that I never wanted to do anything ever again that wasn't me. I was writing my act for Montreal, which is pretty much the acts that get on the late shows.
Yeah.
And I just, it wasn't me. And I'm like, and I didn't get it anyway. I didn't get the show. I didn't get into the festival anyway. So it's like, you can be someone else and you may or may not get in. And then if you do get in, you may, you're not even got in because of you. Or you can just stick to your true self, who you really are, and you still may or may not get in, but it's like, at least I kept to who I am. And that's just kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. What do you feel like was different, though? Because is it just the difference of doing, like, clean material, or is it doing...
It's not necessarily clean, because I'm not that dirty.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's just maybe I'm edgy or controversial, or some of the best stuff that I have, it is more controversial, or it is stories which are longer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got paid one of the highest compliments in my showcase by the owner and the guy from Montreal, the owner of the club and the guy from Montreal, who said, you had the perfect showcase. You gave us quick jokes, bits, and a story in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I didn't get picked. We're not who you're looking for. You know what I mean, dude? Like, you can change yourself to try to be what they're looking for, but at the end of the day, if you ain't what they're looking for, you ain't what they're looking for. And that industry right now, bro, CBS don't want white dudes. They don't want straight white dudes. And I'm sorry, I am a straight white dude. So I'm just going to stick to my stand-up, which is my art, which is the only thing different about me, because there's 1,000 straight white dudes in our industry.
Yeah.
A billion.
Isn't Thomas Middleditch on CBS?
I don't know, bro. Bro, there's straight white dudes, and then there's straight white dudes that are made for CBS. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just wasn't what they're looking for.
Yeah. And it's interesting. There's so much that comes down to that, and the timing being right and stuff. I've auditioned for a couple of these, like, comic shows lately, and you know, it's just tough. It's like I got laughs in the room during the audition, and I didn't get picked to move on. And then there's other things where it's like they were like, we like this bit, but as far as like the bigger chunk of things, like, and I was like trying to piece stuff together, and I was like, just, it's not there right now. I was like, I'm glad you love this piece. is worth you know.
Most of what everybody wants is want to get to know who you are, like, what's your background as far as family and nationality, and what's different about it. Yeah. And we want some quick jokes, we want a bit, and we want a story, all in 5 minutes, which is almost impossible. And you know what, dude? It's possible, but it's like it's almost damn near impossible to do all of that in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
To give you all of that in 5 minutes, that's the perfect person that they're looking for. And you can give them all that, and they might be like, yeah, but your background's not the background we're looking for.
Yeah. And it just might be like time. I mean, specific time too, like what they're looking for this year or
yeah, next year
right be, now, yeah. It may not be the same thing they're looking for in the fall, you know? And it's always interesting to see when those different things go out. Because I've seen it sometimes, like the different casting stuff that they're looking for stand-ups. But it's like, yeah, we want right now we want dad jokes. We want somebody who has like killer dad jokes. But the last year, dad jokes weren't a thing. Like, that's not what they wanted. Last year they wanted clowning was a big thing that was popping up, and clown comedy, which is like an awesome, unique thing. But it's I don't see them asking for it this year. You know what I mean? So it's,
And I'm not putting down any style or type of comedy or anybody.
No. It's more just talking about like.
Yeah. I've just found that, like, I was talking to Jackson McQueen at the time, this was honestly a couple of years ago when I was doing the Montreal showcase. And he showcased twice. And he told me that the second time he got picked, because he said the first time he just did his thing. And then the second time he was more prepared with, I'm going to write my Tonight Show set.
Sure, totally.
And he ran his Tonight Show set for like a year, and then second time, got it. And then when he told me that, I just went like, you know what, dude? I'm just never going to change who I want to be on stage. At the end of the day, it's an art.
Yeah, and totally.
you get a lot more followers from going on somebody's podcast today than you would from going on the Tonight Show. So at the end of the day, I think people really will support you and stand behind the comics that stuck to themselves.
No. I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe a lot of the guys were themselves and they got those things because good for you, man. You're born for it. You're born for TV. It's awesome. I wish I was.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you self-submit then to the, Montreal?
No.
Did you submit tape or?
No. I worked with I'm trying to think of the right words to say, this family that owns several comedy clubs in Canada and United States, and a husband and wife, and I've worked their clubs many times to the point where the wife who mainly books the clubs was like, have you ever submitted for Montreal? Because they're Canadian, they're really close with that festival, and they're just like, I can get you on a showcase. I was like, dude, I couldn't even showcase. I've never showcased in Los Angeles, my hometown. Yeah. I had to fly to Arizona to showcase for them and didn't get picked.
It's tough, man. It's so tough.
I'd do it again.
What's that?
I would do it again.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me.
You should. Yeah. I mean, it's just so much timing too. Yeah. I mean, everything's hot at different times, but I feel like stuff always comes back around too, and you just never know what they're going for.
You never know what's going to hit, man.
Yeah.
That's why you got to do everything.
Yeah. I mean, basically, pretty much.
Including those cold opens. The cold opens, man. That's how you get to do those Montreal showcases in 5 minutes.
Or you just cold middle. And then you
build cold middle.
You weren't supposed to cold middle. What was that, man?
Dude.
Yeah, that didn't go well. It did not go well.
Bro, I just did a cold middle. What do you mean?
It's some new bits that did not pan out.
Dude, I just did a cold. Didn't you go in the middle? Yeah, but it felt cold, bro.
Shut up. I'm deli cold. I'm like a deli sandwich, man.
That's so funny.
That's funny. That's cool, man. What's next, man? So you got, I don't know. I know. Well, let's talk about this because I know. Maybe we like burnt through a lot of stuff I was going to talk about, but this is great.
Is there more you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay, cool.
I was just like, I was checking my. I was like, I always make notes because I get lost in the sidetracks, which is great. And I was like, I'm like, all right, wait, what did I miss? I know there's so much.
If I'm talking too much, bro, you can tell me. I'll show.
Good.
Okay.
If you weren't talking, it'd be weird.
Yeah, it would be weird.
Me asking you questions and this guy's not gonna answer. He's just not gonna answer. Let's promote your other thing, which you've started, which I think is a super cool idea. Have you started releasing your sitcom?
No, those are not gonna get released until they're all filmed.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's not talk about.
No, we could talk about it. I don't care. It's already in the books.
Yeah. I mean, I love what you're doing, but because it's a trend that's starting to. I feel like. You're kind of jumping in on this. This is fantastic. But we're doing the sitcomics, rereading sitcom table reads and stuff, which I think is super cool.
I think the table read trend started during the pandemic when people were just trying to entertain people via Zoom virtually, however you can entertain them. And a lot of actors would get together. You've seen them. They do table reads of like really famous movies. So that kind of triggered, I think, a lot of people to do table read podcasts of like their scripts that they wrote and stuff like that. So we talked about the months that we've had off of stand up, and what I've done in that time is I've tried to get better at the other things that I really have always wanted to get better at. So, I took a class, screenwriting. I want to get better at acting.
Yeah.
So, I just go, you know, let's do some table reads and we'll turn it into a podcast. And, it's really for me to practice. So yes, it's called the Sitcomics, and basically we're doing table reads of some of the most famous and favored, coveted sitcoms of all time. Seinfeld's, we're just reading an episode from some of the greatest sitcoms ever, and I just get a bunch of my comedian friends together to do a table read, and I'll cast it. Like Friday we're gonna do The Office, and you're playing Jim.
Right. Yeah.
And And do, yeah, I just cast my friends as famous characters from sitcoms, and we do a table read, which is great because they're not long, because sitcoms are only like a half an hour. And then we do like a little Q&A after, which is kind of the podcast part. And once these are all done, they're going to be edited to, you know, move very fast. So if we screw up or anything, it's fine. It'll be edited to just be like the normal dialogue. And then at the end, I just cut to the best little conversations that we had in the Q&A. I might even do some bloopers if we did mess up. And they're going to be like 30 to 60 minute episodes. And once they're all released, I will release one a week, which will be a season one.
Yeah. Super cool.
If people like it, dude, we'll do more. But honestly, I've had to take the original script for the sitcom and read it. So I'm getting practicing reading scripts. Then I had to rewrite it for a table read because a lot of them are, they still have the deleted scenes in them. Stuff that doesn't go with the episode, stuff where it's too much physical comedy and it wouldn't make sense in a table read. So I'm rewriting it, so now I'm getting practice writing it. Then we're all reading it, so we're getting practice acting. And we're getting to see each other.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really happen anymore.
No, I know.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's a super cool idea.
Thanks, man.
What's your what's your favorite what's your like all time favorite sitcom?
Everybody Loves Raymond.
I thought so. You saw Ray Romano on a hike, didn't you?
Yeah, did I tell you that the other day?
No, a while ago. I feel like I saw. I don't know if I saw a picture of it or you told me.
I did post it. Yeah, I ran into him on a hike, and I had to tell him that like I wouldn't be a comic without him.
Yeah,
you know, I'm Italian, so like obviously a lot of this stuff was relatable to me and my family, and the show is like totally. Yeah. Like certain stuff in the living room of his parents' house in that TV show, like my grandmother had the same clock on the wall. Like,
oh, wow.
The plastic furniture stuff. Like, it's such an Italian thing.
Yeah. We see, I'm drawing a blank, and he's like one of my favorite comics. We see one guy, and he's hiking constantly. I can't even believe I'm blanking because he's literally like one of our favorite guys.
Is he in a show also or just stand up?
No, he's just got stand up specials all over the place.
Brian Regan.
No, he's the Italian one. Oh, God.
Sebastian.
Sebastian. Oh my God.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah. He's like literally like our favorite, one of our favorite stand ups.
Dude, he's the best. He's one of my favorites.
We see him at Runyon like all the time.
Oh, really?
We're always like, I mean, we see him at like comedy clubs and stuff around, but to see him like out and he's just like walking with his girlfriend or his wife or whatever.
It's his wife, yeah.
Yeah, and he passes by, and we're like, it's Sebastian. And we always want to do, like, a voice or something.
He probably gets it all the time.
I mean, we don't, but we're like, as soon as we pass by, we're just like, you know, start doing his act or whatever. It's just
there's this guy on the internet that does his voice so perfect.
Really?
That it went viral, and there's actually a video of Sebastian addressing it because it's, like, that close.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like I don't know how, but we've seen him like four or five times.
What's your favorite sitcom?
Favorite sitcom, man, I feel like it changes. I don't know because I want to say The Office, right? But I also feel like I saw it. I've also watched that the most recently. I don't know. I feel like there's so many that I enjoy.
There's so many. I'd say top five has got to be like Everybody Loves Raymond, The Office, Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's great. Yeah.
That 70s show goes in and out of my top five because every now and then I haven't watched it in a while and I go like, this is actually so funny.
Yeah.
And
it's like Seinfeld's like one of those, I love Seinfeld, but I haven't watched it in a long time. Like I grew up watching it, but I haven't gone back and watched it recently. So it's just one of
Fresh Prince, dude. Definitely Fresh in Prince the top five. Right. Yeah. Fresh Prince.
Yeah. And right now, Ted Lasso, which is like, a brand new show with.
Oh, I have no idea what that is. I'm like, Ted Lasso. What is this guy talking about?
It's an Apple TV show, but it's fantastic. Oh, okay. It's strong.
Okay.
Sudeikis from SNL is Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, yeah. I like him.
Yeah. It's an awesome show. It's got everything, man.
Have you ever seen that show Bored to Death? What's that? God, I forget that actor's name, but Zach Galifianakis is in it too. And I don't think it did many seasons, but it's about a writer, like a script writer.
Oh.
And I want to say it's Ted Danson also.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in 2 seconds. What the hell is this guy's name? He's so funny. Jason Schwartzman, Ted Danson, Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, wow.
Oliver Platt. Dude, it's like a great cast about writing.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
I'll check it out. What if you'd asked me, like, what's my favorite sitcom? And I just said Bridgerton. And
you're like, I don't know what really? That is.
No, it's like a super British show.
I'm
right
so
now.
Surprised how many people say Frasier.
We've watched a lot of Frasier, and I think somebody said they might come back around. I think yeah. they're trying to revive it. Yeah,
I remember being a kid and like I would watch all the sitcoms, Nick at Night, TV Land, and I'd be up all night, and then when Frasier would come on, I'd be like, ugh, and I'd turn it off.
I didn't appreciate it when I was younger, but and it's funny.
Maybe I should give it another try.
A bunch of it recently. It's like, I mean, it's like a great nighttime show. It's like sitting down to like a warm blanket and a warm
okay.
cup of tea.
I got to try it as an adult. Like, maybe you're right.
Like it's a great show and it's like, it's like subtle and it doesn't have like, I don't know. It's a good, like just before bed type show.
Cause it puts you to sleep. Story. Just it's say it. It puts you to sleep.
It does, but like you laugh, you have a good time, then you're okay. ready. Bed, like, and not in like a bad way.
I'll try it. Maybe I'll give it another
you're
shot.
Totally like, I could do one or two episodes, and then I'm like, I feel good. I feel good. I'm gonna go to.
We're not binging because we don't really watch them, but we're watching Cheers again, which yeah. like she's never seen it. So yeah. we're watching Cheers little by little, and maybe when I'm done with that, I'll because that's the spinoff, right? Frasier.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so into Ted Danson's. Recent career.
What's he up to?
He's on Mr. Mayor right now on NBC, and he was on The Good Place.
The Good Place.
Killing it, man. He's the delightful person to watch.
And I saw him in Calabasas the other day driving.
Did you?
He was in the car yeah. with his wife. She's famous too. What the hell's her name again?
She's in Step Brothers. I always forget her
yes,
name.
Yes, her. I forget her name too, but she's like great in every
she's
movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And she's in Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think playing herself.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that we've included now this part of the segment is called Celebrity Sightings.
Celebrity Sightings. They were in a car. It was a silver Audi.
Who'd you see this week?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, dude, you know what sucks? MASH.
That was like a lot of things this pandemic.
Dude,
MASH.
MASH.
I've never been a MASH fan. I could never get it. I couldn't get past
it. Who's a MASH fan? How did that get on the air?
It was big at the time, man.
Funny, dumb people in at war? Like
It's gonna get rebooted.
It's gonna get rebooted. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now's the time to do it. Actually, that's the one show that if they did a remake, it would be funnier now.
because
now you're introducing like transgender military people in the same tent as straight people. That's the comedy. That's the story.
I think somebody listening to this podcast is going to reboot MASH after this.
Yeah, TM. Like, we just got to say TM, bro.
We have not thought about rebooting MASH yet. And like, yeah.
Like you can't like trademark a show you guys don't own.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, MASH reboot TM. You can't just say TM.
Yeah, no, somebody else TM'd that 40 years ago. Right. Do TMs expire? Because I'd like to renew my TM. How funny. Well, cool, man. Well, this has been great, man. I could talk for hours and hours. But,
what do you do? We haven't talked in so long.
I know.
It's so rare now I get to talk with people about stand-up comedy. I just go off.
I feel like the more we talked about it, the more I felt like I'm missing it. I was like, oh god, I gotta go get some COVID, and I'm gonna risk it. I'm gonna risk it, man.
Yeah. See,
I'm not going, not catching COVID to do it. I'm just gonna like, you know what? Let's just roll the dice. No.
There's some that we could go do in LA. I don't think that's too much too soon for you, bro.
No, I'm not. I'm getting jabbed. I'm getting the shot, and then I'll be back on stage. But
when are you gonna get jabbed?
I don't know yet. whenever I can, man. I'm on the app. I'm in line on an app.
So it may not be till like May, possibly that you even get it. Who knows, man?
I don't know. We'll see.
Everybody I know who got it got the vid.
What?
Every single person I know. Like, I know a lot of people that got it. Like, honestly, I want to say like 20 people I know got it, and 20 of them got COVID.
How? It's supposed to be anti-COVID.
Well,
I don't know.
Between the shots, though.
My sister just got her second dose today. She hasn't had anything yet.
It's that first shot. So, you know what the first shot does, right?
Yeah, it electrocutes everything inside of you. It's like...
Are you making this up?
Yeah. I'm not a scientist.
I'm not either. But I will tell you what it does. The first shot. This is not a conspiracy theory, because I know I'm into conspiracy theories and I don't want people to think that's what this is. Go look this up. This is what it is. The first shot gives you COVID, because you can't beat something you don't have. It has to introduce it into your system.
Usually it's like a dead cell. A vaccine is a dead cell.
It's a version of COVID.
Or a dumbed down cell.
So that the second shot will actually, the vaccine will actually work, because your immune system has to have the tolerance of COVID for the vaccine to work, which is probably the worst explanation ever. But that's why you get two. That is why you get two. You have to have it so that it can cure it. In which case, I say just go outside and you'll probably get it without a mask. And then just get the second one.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You could get dead. I don't know. I don't know. I'll probably roll the dice.
I'm going to hold off on getting it as long as I possibly can. And I think that eventually I'm going to have to get it to get on an airplane. Like, I think it's going to come down to that. Like, I think I won't be able to travel until I get it.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know how they're going to roll it out or how they're going to regulate it. But we'll see, man. You know, they're definitely rolling it out fast. So we'll see in the next couple months for sure.
A lot of places, like Ticketmaster right now, dude, this for real, Ticketmaster won't let you buy tickets to events unless you've proven a COVID test.
Oh, wow.
Came back negative. So.
All right.
Eventually, I think you'll have to prove you've been vaccinated.
Yeah. It might come down to that.
It might.
Hopefully. It might. I'm hoping this thing is done by July and we'll just be...
Yeah, dude.
That's normal.
We'll be back in July. Okay. We're back on the road. We're doing stand up at breweries.
Yeah.
We're cheersing me and Ryan. Bro.
Sir.
Dude, you're the best host ever.
You're the best host ever. And we just
we just go back and forth.
They're like, guys, you both missed your spot.
Well, tell the cold open to go up while we
Tell them to go back up. Tell them to go back up. Why is he? Well, cool, man. This is fun.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on. And this is, I'll do like a little intro before I add everything in. This is like a swap cast. So I will put this episode and release it as my episode, which hopefully everybody listening will subscribe to yours. And everyone listening from you will come and subscribe to mine, Homeschooled Podcast.
Check out his Homeschooled Podcast. Mine's a bit unraveled with little swap casts. And check them both out, guys. This is a good time, and it was good to hang out, and hopefully we'll be doing more of it soon.
Hell yeah, dude! Really quick, everybody, I will be in Paso Robles April 10th. That's a Saturday. There's two shows, and you can get more information on which brewery I will be performing at Paso Robles at homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour.
Sweet. And then your Instagram is at Augustino, right?
Everything is at Augustino Zoida. Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, it's just Augustino Zoida, and everything's Augustino Zoida across the board.
Yeah. Cool.
Come say what's up, you guys, because, you know, we're pretty depressed. We want to know that you people still love us.
That's with the likes.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Cool, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This was
fun. Talk soon.
Later, bro. I'll see you Friday.
Yes. See you Friday.
Peace.
Wait. Oh, shoot. I almost hit the wrong button.
Go ahead. I think you have to end it.
No, I was just stop recording. I was just like to hit stop recording, just give a proper goodbye, because I always feel weird just being like,
oh,
and bye, and like instantly. But,
well, I'm still recording, so you go ahead and do your proper goodbye on mine. That's fine with me.
Oh. Goodbye. That's it. All right. This all I was gonna say is this is fun, and just reiterate that. And man, I had a blast.
It was fun, dude. It's so fun to talk with comics again, Dan. It's
so fun to reminisce. So
and look to the future.
And to the future.
And to the future. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, bro.
All right. Well, for real. We'll take care. We'll talk to
Say
you soon.
Say hi to Ashley. Have a good night.
I will. I will. You too.
Peace, dude. All right. Bye. That was Ryan Hansinger. I hope you guys enjoyed his podcast. It's called A Bit Unraveled. And it was great being on his, and it was great having him on mine, and it was great having you guys tune in and listen. I love you guys. And big things in the works, you guys. I know, I'm sorry, Homeschool Podcast has only been one a week right now, but you know what, you guys, we're doing our best. I've had a lot of projects, writing classes, the new show, the Sick Comics. It's taken a lot of my time, the tour dates that I've had, but you know what, I ain't complaining. We ain't complaining, we living. I want to thank every single one of you who continues to listen and support the Homeschool Podcast. Best way to support is to go to homeschooledpod.com, click on merch. Please pick up a t-shirt, my album, a sticker. Everything's on there. It makes us feel all warm and cozy inside to know that you guys are wearing the t-shirts and tagging us on social media. And just keeps me going a little bit further. And you know what else keeps me going a little bit further is when you guys reach out to me and let me know you're enjoying the podcast or give me any kind of feedback. Or if you just want to talk, if you got questions, I'm here, okay? So you can contact me at homeschooledpod.com. Click on contact. Send me one of those messages. I do get those. I do reply to them as soon as I can. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. Remember that only love can save the world. This is Homeschooled Podcast. I'll see you guys next time. Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all.